I'm going to teach tonight, and we're going to talk about some things that I've touched on but never really got the opportunity. How many know I'm good for starting a series and then never coming back to it for about 3 weeks or 3 months? So we're going to try to finish up this thing tonight and really get into a deeper way of thinking as it relates to your purpose, distractions, and focus. And I want to talk about some stuff tonight. And so everybody say distractions. This is something that is critical. A lot of times what people think is the enemy challenging you in your life, the reason why this ain't working and that ain't working and this isn't happening, you often think it's the enemy when I'm telling you most of the time it's a lack of focus. And I want to talk about what that looks like, how that translates in the real life today, because focus is, it's absolutely everything. Focus hurts at times. Focus will leave you, it will cause you to investigate things about yourself, cause you to look at things about yourself that you do not like, that you do not want to see. Focus is a very, very, very important thing to the life of especially the believers, because in order for us to become a thing, we have to really focus in on what God is saying over my life. The Bible is filled with words from God, but that doesn't mean that everything in the Bible is for your season. You need to make sure that the Holy Spirit's leading you, because listen, if you are not connected to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be led in the areas of your life that you need to be focusing on. Right now, if God is strictly dealing with you about a specific issue, that's where you need to be focusing on at all times. You need to be aware of that at all times. Focus on whatever the Holy Spirit is doing. Why? Because it's going to produce something in you. And so this is some things I want to get to here tonight. Everybody say distractions. So let's go to Philippians 4:8. We're going to read here. Pastor Tim, we good? All right.
Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things.
What is Paul saying here? He's simply saying, this is what I want you to focus on. This is what I want your mind to dwell on. It is so easy to live life. And how many know that it's designed right now? Life will steal your focus. It's like you get up in the morning. What's the first thing most of us do? Check our phones. We see what's going on in the world. We see what's going on with social media. And the first thing that's happening is it is literally designed to engage you and get your mind thinking in a different realm. And it's crazy. I'm telling you, it's crazy, guys. How many have ever, let's say you was talking about a topic and then you got on your phone and that very thing you was talking about is now being advertised on your phone, right? I mean, listen, it's crazy how many distractions are out there. This world is designed to get us out of focus. And so this is something that I want to deal with. So Paul here is telling us, I want to read this one more time, Pastor Tim, but he's telling us here specifically to focus our thoughts on these type of things. And if you get into the context of what the church of Philippi is dealing with, it makes a whole lot of sense why Paul would tell them to think on these things. Because there's things that they're dealing with that Paul's trying to say, listen, stay focused on these things. Why? It will produce the outcome that God is trying to produce in your life. Every person in this room has negative things that you can be focusing on. Everybody in this room has done something stupid. Come on, just raise your hand if you ever been a part of something stupid. Come on now. Listen, we've done stuff that just don't make sense. We've done stuff that we don't want to do, and if you focus on that, what's going to happen is that's going to produce condemnation, which is going to keep you in a cycle of negative energy. But if you can somehow get your focus on the right things, it's going to change everything. You attract what you focus on. Come on now. It's a little quiet in here tonight. We attract what we focus on. If you focus on the right thing, you're going to bring, it's like a magnet, man. It brings stuff into your world. But if you're focusing on the wrong stuff, it's like a magnet. It brings it into your world. So let's get into this one more time. Just read that one more time, Pastor, and then we're going to switch over to Matthew.
Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things.
So watch here. I want you to get up here. We're going to go back up here to swing over to Matthew 14, 22 through 38. We're going to read the New American Standard Version. So let's get into this here. But I want to talk about this whole passage here as it relates to focus and distractions. Let's read here. We know this passage. We know it very well. Y'all ready?
Amen.
All right, let's read.
Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the winds was contrary.
Right there. Let's read that again. Go back. Just go back to that last part. Look at, but the boat was already a long distance from the land. Now watch this. Battered by the waves, for the wind was what?
Contrary.
So watch this. Now this is the same guy that literally told the storm to be still. This specific time, though, he doesn't speak to the storm. He decides to walk on it. Y'all catching this? There's some storms that you're supposed to speak to, others you're supposed to submit to. Not every storm in your life are you supposed to be rebuking. Some of them are meant to get you stirred up. Comfortable is one of the biggest enemies to purpose. Man, y'all quiet tonight. Comfortable is one of the biggest enemies to purpose. There's something about when we get comfortable, we stop paying attention and we stop pursuing the things that we are supposed to pursue because we are comfortable. And it's something that's happening in this passage. I want to get to this. Now watch this. Let's continue to read here.
And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him,
watch this, guys.
"Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me."
Now watch this. This is something that's we need to really focus in. I want to try to teach this tonight because I want to get this word to really encourage you in your journey. How many know you can't see wind? You can only feel it. You can't see it, you can only feel it. What was killing Peter is what he was feeling. I need you to get this. It's his feelings that was killing Peter. He's literally walking on water, and where it all goes south is when he starts believing his feelings. This is something that we got to grab tonight, because all of us, everybody in this room, feels some way about something. Everybody in this room is feeling some way about their own self, their own journey, their own resolutions, their own grind, their own disappointments. You have all kinds of thoughts about you and how things have happened or not happened or took place or not took place. And you are in your head so much that it's stopping you from realizing you're literally walking on water. Which tells me your feelings have the power to completely cause everything to sink in your life. This man is walking on water and he's worried about wind.
Come on, Pastor Gail.
He's walking on water and he's worried about what he can't see. He's walking on water. He's walking on water, and I'm tripping about what I'm feeling. Some of us are so caught up in our feelings, we don't realize the miracle that is happening in our world right now. You could be a whole lot worse than where you're at. Things could have went way worse than the way they're going. There's so much blessing and favor operating in your life, and you in your feelings right now. You need to look and say, my God, I'm walking on water.
Preach. Preach.
I'm walking on water. My feelings is what's causing me to feel what all this nonsense that I'm telling you to get out of your head tonight.
Yes.
Get out of your head. You got to learn to whip your own feelings the way that you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
Because when we feel negative energy about our own self, we start anticipating rejection.
Yeah.
And it causes us to cower down. And God don't want cowards. God wants you to be bold. Come on, somebody. Man. Listen, I love it. One of the things I love about God, I don't know how many seen, I'm a movie watcher. How many seen the first Doctor Strange? Y'all remember the movie Doctor Strange? Remember when she was trying to teach him the spells and to operate in this world? What did they put him in? They put him in a realm that was a practice realm.
Yeah.
In other words, this is where you can practice your spells. You can't mess anything up in real life here. It all looks real, but none of it's real. I put you in this realm so that you can fail and we can use failure as an equipping tool. Some of y'all are worried that everything you're failing right now, it's going to wreck my world. No. You're in the practice realm right now. God's got you there. He's got you there. Listen, when David threw the rock at Goliath, y'all, it wasn't the spirit that led the rock. It was practice. He's been doing it for years. The spirit didn't just magically grab the rock and say, go this way. No. David had accuracy because he's been practicing for years. Woo! Come on, somebody. Everybody say the power of practice. And so listen, I'm telling you, what distracts us is what we're feeling. And I'm telling you, a lot of the times our feelings have nothing to do with reality. You know why fear is so crippling to people? Because fear is focused. When you are afraid of something, you are completely focused on that fear. Fear is so focused, and that's why it's so crippling. It's funny, we don't doubt fear, do we? You don't ever hear, God, man, I'm just doubting fear. I'm feeling good. No. Come on now. When you got fear, when that thing hovers over your life, you are fully persuaded. You're fully persuaded because fear is crippling. It's focused. It starts anticipating every possibility that could go south. Fear is prophetic because it lives in your future. It starts telling you this is what tomorrow's going to be, and we start believing it. You're never going to amount to nothing. You're in your head. You're in your feelings. You're tripping about stuff that ain't even happened yet. You have no control over it. I'm telling you tonight to get out of your heads. Start focusing on the right stuff. Amen, somebody. I said this for years. I don't know if I penned it or I stole it, but it's mine now. Whatever has your focus has your future. Amen? Anybody got a dollar? I need a quarter and a dollar. Anybody got a dollar? I'm not giving it back either. Anybody got $100? No, I'm kidding. Listen, I said I'm not giving it back. Anybody got $100? I need one quarter. Look at this. I'm going to show you what distraction is. Thank you. I got that shirt, by the way. I love it. She got me a real sweet shirt. Yes. Here's a dollar, right? I got four quarters. Right? This is what distraction is. Here's a dollar. And here are four quarters that we call what? Change. Now, why do we call it change? The word distraction, if you look at the etymology of the word, it literally means to pull apart. It comes from a term that we don't use anymore called quartering. What quartering was back in the ancient days, literally as a form of punishment, they would tie ropes four ways to each limb, and they would have horses on the other end, and the horses would walk, and it would stretch till the person was pulled apart, and that was called courting or to distract. And there's different directions happening all at one time. Right? And they was calling it quartering. That was a term that we use. Dollar for quarters. This can have one destination because it's not divided. This, because it's now distracted, can have several destinations. Right? This is why we call this change. Right? Why? Because when you are being distracted, you are being changed. You are going in several different directions. Are you catching this? You're being pulled apart. This is very, very important to get this. Wow. Our seasons, I put this down. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. I'm not going to be able to get to all this. Our seasons typically last as long as our focus. God, when am I going to get out of this season? I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. You're only going to graduate from it once your focus shifts. When your focus is in alignment to the things of God, then at that point, life is going to look a lot different. Your focus will completely transform your entire life. You know you're getting focused the right way when your friendships change. One of the things that happens when you start taking it upon yourself to follow God and start transforming your life is you will see your circle look a whole lot different. You hear me? Your circle will start looking different because you will start attracting people into your world that have the same desire to walk out the plan of God in their life. They're tired of the nonsense. It's time to change, right? And so what they do is they begin to stop the distractions. You can't keep looking at life like everything is evil and everything is one thing's holy and one thing's evil. Some of the biggest things that have ever hurt us in our life is simply good over God. Good over God. Yes, you can do this. This may be something good to entertain, but is it what God's saying for you right now? Because the enemy will give you something that looks like what you're supposed to be, but it's not authentically what you're supposed to be. And he does that because the enemy wants to keep us disingenuous. He wants to keep us out of our authentic selves. He'll give you a form of what you're supposed to look like. Just don't you really become it. Come on now. You got to really challenge these areas in your life. Everybody's got them. Everybody's got them. Everybody say distractions. I'm at this point to where I looked at it. We're talking about focus. I can't see nothing. So go back here to Matthew 14:22. Because this is important when we're talking about this. Everybody say attention. See, attention is a weapon that we use to shape our tomorrow. Attention is a focus. If you look at the focus, what is focus? Focus, the definition of focus is convergence. It's like, it's a convergence. Everybody know what convergence is? It's like bringing elements, two or more elements into a unity. It's a convergence. That's what happens with a convergence, right? And it's kind of like if you was to take a magnifying glass, right? And you can, I don't know if you all ever did this as a kid, but you can, to start a fire, you can take a magnifying glass and you can, when the sun's out, you can use the power of the sun to literally start a fire. But you need the magnifying glass because what that does is it focuses the energy from the sun into a specific spot. Yeah. It's a convergence. Yeah. It's taking one element that's functioning and it's marrying it to the other elements. And what the magnifying glass is doing is it's focusing things in. And it's targeting a specific thing. And then from that we get fire. This is how this works. It's a cool thing that we used to do when I was a kid a long time ago. But this is what focus is because When God is trying to do something in your life, I think that we've been under this concept about God that when I submit my life to God and I come to Jesus and I say, okay, I'm going to be a Christian now. I'm walking the way of Scripture. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to do the things that God's requiring. We almost swallow this idea without even knowing it, because I think a lot of times we don't really think about all of the things that we need to think about as it relates to our relationship with God and all of those things. But one of the things that I think we swallow without knowing it is that we feel like God is going to just snap his finger and life is just going to get so much better. Why? Because I'm walking with Jesus. That's just not how that works. God will give you peace, but the condition, the way your life looks is going to be dependent on what you choose to align yourself with. There is a lot of miserable Christians because they're bad at decision making. Come on, somebody. They're bad at decision making. Do you know when the enemy really wants to get you off track, the first thing he'll use is your ambitions? You know the enemy knows you're insecure, right? Soon as you can find somebody's insecurity, you have the power to control them. Because all you got to do is keep feeding the thing that they're wanting. And as long as you're doing that, you know, as long as you do that. My wife said, man, it's crazy. I got two little dogs, if you guys ever been over to my house. And wherever I go, the one drives me nuts because he's don't get me going. But wherever I go, my wife said, man, that's crazy. They just follow you everywhere. And when I stop, they'll look up. You know, it's all the attention's on me. You know, I'm the man of the house, and they're following me everywhere. And Sean said, why do they do that? I said, because they know I feed them. That's exactly why they're doing that. It ain't love. Don't get it twisted. It ain't love, because the same dogs that when we're in the house are giving me attention, when I'm outside and they see something that they like, that loyalty's gone. They're gone. I got to chase them down the block. Where's the love? I said, come here, boy. No. Why? Because what they want is more important. See, once you realize that about somebody, the enemy knows you're insecure. And so when you have insecurities, let's say that you're feeling a certain way about yourself, all the enemy's going to do is just keep feeding that thing along. He loves bread trails. The enemy never reveals where he's walking you.
Right.
He just gives you bread. Take this, you take one step. Take this, you take another step. You have no idea that he's taking you down a road of destruction. But as long as he's giving you that little thing that you think you need in order to make your world better, you're like a sheep to the slaughter. That's why healing is important. Amen, somebody? And so focus has to start. It has to start from a position of, God, what do you want my life to look like? What do you want my life to look like? Then you need to start aligning your decisions to that very thing that God is saying, this is what you want to look like. People come up, man, I want a pastor. I want to do this. I want to be a businessman. Okay, what are you doing about that? Well, I just feel like it's called over my life. Do you think prophecies are guarantees of a better future? No. They are a glimpse, an invitation into a better future. There's people in here right now, you're anointed to play things. Some of you may be anointed to play the piano. How come you ain't doing it? Why aren't you up there playing? Because you ain't practiced. A gift is an opportunity to be better. It's not a guarantee. What separates Kobe from other basketball players was not his ability. It was his decision making. He's getting up early. He's shooting more jump shots. He's doing the things that he needs to do to become the great Kobe Bryant that we knew Kobe to be. He's putting in the work. He was focused. He knew. And I often tell people, one of the things, you know, I'm a basketball head, guys. You guys know that. One of the things that I love about Kobe Bryant that Michael Jordan never did and never could have done. When Kobe, on his last game, who he went crazy, the last game, he said something very powerful, man. It hit me in my spirit. He grabbed the mic after hitting, how many he had, Derek? 63, yep. Had 63 points in his final game. The crowd was going crazy. We're watching the end of a legacy. And he grabs the mic. He tells the fans he loves them. He appreciates them. Does all the stuff. And then he does this. Mamba out. And drops the mic. When he said Mamba out, why I loved it so much is because it spoke volumes of Kobe's focus. Jordan never could fully walk away from the game, which tells me that maybe he struggles with transition. You got to get to a point in your life to where you recognize this season is done. Mamba out. I was faithful here. It's done. Now I move to the next, because when you linger in a season that you're no longer assigned to, you'll become trapped in areas that are designed to bring you down. Some of you are remaining in a season that you have already graduated from. Come on, somebody. You're looking for answers. You're trying to figure out why this. Man, that stuff's going to keep you trapped. Think on these things and get moving. It happened. It's over. It's done. Get over it. Let's move. Come on, somebody. Jesus never talked about why Adam fell. He just redeemed it. You don't need a conversation. You need some movement. Amen, somebody. And so, distraction. Quit living life start living life intentionally. When you get up on Monday morning, try to plan your day. Me and Don over here, he started working out with me this week. we've been going to Powerhouse, and we're getting up early and going there. I'm proud of him. He's getting it in. And there's something about starting your day intentionally with a purpose and a plan, and it changes the entire energy. It changes the entire environment of the way you think. And it's funny, I'm trying to tell you guys this. It is called the law of attraction. When your thoughts are in the right place, I'm telling you, you are going to start attracting things in your world that reflect where your focus is at. Amen, somebody. And so we have to get to this point. So I want to just finish that passage. Go verse 22 and just read.
Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Yeah. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water."
Ooh.
And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?"
Now, isn't this amazing? How many know that Jesus knows all? So when he asks the question, why do you think he's asking the question? Do you think it's because he needs the answer, or is he trying to get you to ask the right questions? This is how you grow, is when you graduate to the right questions. So when Jesus says, "Why did you doubt?" He knew exactly why he doubted, but he's trying to get Peter to analyze how this happened. How did this take place? I was literally walking on water. How did this happen? How did I get to this place, this position, this place in my life? What steps did I take that got me here? Jesus is trying to get him to think that way. And I'm telling you what it was. Peter was in his feelings, and his feelings was not aligned to the heart of God. We cannot think thoughts about ourselves God is not thinking. You have to align your thoughts concerning you with the thoughts God is thinking about you. and then focus on it. Focus on that thing. I'm telling you right now, this is what I love about God. There's nothing that you've done in your life that can stop the favor of God. There's nobody that you've hurt. Everybody, we've all been a part of something to where we, man, I wish I could have done that better. I wish I would have stewarded that season better or that, been better in that relationship or whatever. We've all got regrets, right? But the truth of the matter is this is what's so beautiful about God. Once you repent, and how many remember, I've taught on this a lot in this house about what real repentance is. It's not asking for forgiveness. That's not, listen, you're forgiven. God can't even answer that prayer. It's already answered. He forgave you at the cross.
Wow.
It's already answered. It's terrible theology, you know. God forgive me, God forgive me. You're already forgiven, man. You're forgiven. That's done. What is repentance? Repentance, the Greek word metanoia. It means to change your thinking. Repentance is when we allow the mind of God to become our mind. Scripture says that let this mind that is in Christ Jesus, right?
Yep.
Let that mind, you know. And it's his thinking that we need to have. And so one of the things that I think that Peter was dealing with specifically, he was walking on water, but because of the conflict within. See, you will, I'm telling you right now, this is something I learned, and a lot of people know how to be a big fish in a small pond. It's not until you start getting into bigger ponds to where you start seeing your own insecurities.
That's good.
God will put you in a position to where everybody can do what you do and do it better. But what makes you different, the only thing that makes anybody different is surrender. God can do more with surrender than he can talent. There's people that are doing more. They can sing. You can sing better than them. They got a bigger platform. Why? Their heart's different. It's in a different place. Right? Or at least it started out that way. But God is looking to promote himself. He's never looking to promote us. It's always about him. God really only fellowships with himself. It's one of these things to where I truly believe that when our hearts are in the right place, that God does what he wants to. And this is the beauty of it. Listen, man, everybody thinks the purpose that God has on your life is to stand before this and that and all these. You know, when we have a dream, it's always with greatness, right? But God's purpose could be something, maybe what God is calling you to is a place to where you're not going to be celebrated.
Yep.
I'm calling you to serve. Maybe the that's why life is so hard for you, because you're still wanting to stand in front of people to be seen. And all that's doing is feeding the insecurities. God said, no. My purpose for you right now is to be not seen.
Yeah.
Because it's in that place that you call invisible that I'm doing work on you. So I tell you, focus. It's not just about what is my natural goals. It's about what is the Holy Spirit saying right now over Gail. What is the Holy Spirit saying over Chantel? Over Derek, over Tim, over Toya. What is God saying right now? What is he trying to get you to see and to focus and zero in on about you? Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. Pastor, I know I need healing. Then focus in. All things healing. All things that are going to give you life in an area that you may be dead in. Focus in, zero in on that, and let God go to work. Then when that season is up, Mamba out, drop, move to the next season, and then focus in. Amen, somebody. Just focus in. And so that is something that we got to get. Don't allow yourself, and listen, I'm. It's not that we're trying to give the enemy a way out here, but I'm trying to get you to see that there's more than one enemy operating in your life. Yes, I believe there is definitely an enemy that is operating in your life that is divinely trying to work against you. But I'm telling you right now, we can be our biggest devils.
Right.
Man, and I'm telling you right now, when you come, the scripture says in Revelation to set our minds or our affections on things above. One of the things that needs to happen in the life of the believer is setting our affections in the right place. Yeah. You got to submit your ambitions to the Lord, because if not, it becomes a vice the enemy can use to get you out of sync. Out of sync. The enemy is, he's a trickster. He's been doing this a long time. He knows how to get you. And a lot of times, man, a lot of times, you know how the enemy gets you? He knows what God's put on your life. And if he can't get you to go to the side and do this stupid stuff, he'll try to speed you up. No, just keep walking the same direction. Just start walking faster. Why? Because if you get over the speed limit in the kingdom, you're going to miss every detail that you need that's supposed to be there to equip you.
Come on, Pastor.
He said, oh, God called you that? Go, man, keep walking real fast. No, don't walk fast. Walk by the Spirit. Purpose has a speed limit. Slow down. God will slow you down sometimes.
Yes, he will.
You're moving too fast. You're missing all the critical details that are meant to equip you. Come on now, slow down. and this is how we have to operate in the Spirit. I'm at his pace. I'm walking at his pace and I'm focused. I'm lasering in. This is what God's saying right now. I'm in a season, there's a lot of stuff happening right now with me, but I'm in a season right now to where I know for a fact God is putting my focus on structure. So I've made several phone calls. I've been talking with different people that's their gift, that's what they're called to do, and it's the way they think. Matter of fact, I was talking with a pastor yesterday. He's like, man, what's your thoughts on this sermon? I said, what sermon? Well, for Christmas, I'm teaching on spiritual gifts. And I said, for Christmas? You that far ahead already? Like, you got everything lined up all the way to Christmas? Yeah. I'm like, good Lord. I don't know what I'm preaching next week. I do, but my point is that's a focus there. It's structure. So God is connecting me with everybody. That's structured. And I'm telling you, when you truly start focusing in, the first symptom that you will see is frustration. Because focus, before it cures anything, it exposes everything.
Ask again.
You hear me? It, when you really start focusing in, you're going to start, God's going to put some people in your life. And I mean, y'all need to receive this as a word tonight. Everybody say God. I love it. My pastor used to do that all the time. Listen, say, God, bring people in my life that will tell me what I need to hear. That what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. People that will, that ain't candy coated. They're speaking truth and love. But what we need to hear, because I'm telling you right now, we all say we want to grow, but as soon as we get challenged, we start running. Don't focus in. Focus, 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 focus. We have to quit singing songs about surrender when we're not living our life from that posture. You're just a singer. You're not a worshiper until it becomes a part of your journey. Amen, somebody? So let's stand to our feet. You received that tonight?